Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, you know your problem. You keep it all in Mark Haynes.
I do, but I'm going to let it out now. Wrestle me, Peter!
It's been sick bird blood all down his front. Oh, gross. We're back. We're Wrestle Me In. We're doing Crown Jewel 2019.
Yes. Woo! I just thought last episode, we did say 2 episodes ago that last episode might have been the 200th. And then we forgot to mention it
in the 200th. So if it wasn't, yeah. So did we delete shows? We did. Does the duplicate SummerSlam 92, 93, does that count as an episode?
That was out on the Patreon. This is just on main.
Shall we just celebrate the 200th Patreon episode?
Do you know what would be hilarious? let's take the first one away. Let's take WrestleMania part one away.
Yeah, okay.
Just to make it line up. That's in no way making like my eye twitch with like an OCD thing that I don't like. welcome back. We're doing Crown Jewel 2019. It's just a shit fest.
It's just a shit fest. A fun shit fest at times, though.
It is. Yeah. It's not a show that you can hate. But you can, it's certainly it's just uneven.
Rey Mysterio, we're kicking off this show with Rey Mysterio doing a speech almost entirely in Spanish, apart from the words "spoilerlet." Spoilerlet.
I like Rey Mysterio talking more often in Spanish. I like anything that sort of goes, there are people all over the world watching.
Yes.
Rather than just sort of a generic, bland, you know, white Americano.
Yeah,
I like all that. I think it works much better. We are going to see exactly that in action, the whole idea of it being a worldwide creation, which is the third match, Cesaro versus Mansoor.
Oh, if you are ever... I love Cesaro. I think he's fantastic. I've never seen a shitty match. I think he... And in this match, he works so very hard at putting over Mansoor.
He
maneuvers himself into places where other wrestlers probably wouldn't, and he'd make Mansoor look worse. He's brilliant in this, and I love him a lot. But if you need to know how much the company fucking care for Cesaro, Cesaro's walk-in is just a chance for the commentary team to talk about Corey Graves' new podcast.
Yes.
And it's like...
Isn't it?
It's fucking... He's one of the best guys on the fucking Raw. I'd love him.
I know. He also... you can tell how good he is, because he comes in wearing sunglasses. And you know my rule about wrestlers with sunglasses. That is, they wear sunglasses because they're going, I need something to zhuzh this up. I don't know what I'm doing. Sunglasses. Look, imagine if you could afford a pair of sunglasses. But he comes out in this and you go, yeah, he is the first modern era wrestler who wears that. And you go, that does fit with whatever look he's doing.
He's doing a bit of Jason Statham playing a policeman.
He does. He's the Statham thing I should play up on. I like the bit where he was like the Swiss James Bond. I think that was a great look where he'd come in a suit and he'd tear it off. But not like a Chippendale.
No.
That was the key. He did it like a Swiss James Bond.
Bond. Like he had to go jump into a pool.
Exactly.
To rescue a treasure chest. don't watch a lot of James
Bond. Treasure chest full of women's legs. Yeah. And you're absolutely right. I mean, they give this match to Cesaro because they know this will be the best match that Mansoor can have because he's up against probably one of the best professional wrestlers that they have at this time and pretty much have had over the last decade. Mansoor is from Riyadh in Saudi Arabia. He was signed to a WWE contract in 2018. At a tryout they had in Saudi Arabia after the Greatest Royal Rumble show, which was the first Saudi show.
They must have been so happy with that. They must have thought he had any kind
completely,
of good-looking, tall, rangy, good.
Yeah, I mean, that is the story, Pete.
Oh, right.
That's the story
Mark.
That they put forward.
Ah, shit.
From 2015 to 2018, Mansoor was working the Californian Independence under the name Manny Fabarino.
Lovely.
In 2017, I noticed he lost matches to Shoop Shellhammer, Steve the Cockfighter, and Drugs Bunny. Drugs Bunny's tagline,
right.
The rabbit with a habit.
Oh, Mark! Right, stop the show. I want to watch some Drugs Bunny matches.
Manny Fabarino, aka Mansoor, he took part in shows that had names like Hood Slams, Fuck the Fans 8, and Stoney Use Blunt for Red October. None of this forms part, if you like, of his official WWE biography.
Mm.
He was found in Riyadh, where he never had taken part in shows that referenced drug use or obscenity.
Oh, mate, Bunny is good. Sorry.
Oh, look my. Why isn't this guy performing in Saudi Arabia?
I know. His sort of thing is that he's just constantly dropping big packets of cocaine, always got coke on the floor. He's got,
why
like,
didn't I go image search him before?
I know.
I got like, the word Drugs Bunny and I was like, that is all I need. That is as far as my interest has taken
me. We were busy.
What a fucking moron.
We were busy. So he's this amped up, cooked up kind of guy in a stripy fedora, covered in coke, and with little bunny ears coming out the top. Smashing.
Could have been me. He says, could have been me. I remember Mansoor. that is the reality of what happened with Mansoor. But he does do this tryout. He is, I believe, originally from Saudi Arabia.
Right.
Whether or not, I think he was probably born in America, although his Wikipedia does list his birthplace as being Riyadh.
Well,
it seems
see who
certainly
lasted it at that entry.
Yeah, I mean Manny Fabarino. That is very much a gimmick that you do when you don't know what you're doing.
Yes.
But he joined NXT in September 2018 after they'd made this big thing about saying he was picked up at the Saudi Arabian tryout. He loses lots and lots of matches.
Mm.
He wins some against people on a similar level, but he's doing the house shows and training. What happens is at the Super Showdown show this year, he wins a 51-man battle royal in front of the Saudi crowd. And the reaction is just insanely big.
Yeah.
He goes back to the US, continues to lose loads and loads of NXT matches at house shows. He loses some on TV. And then he's on this show.
Yeah.
So they only care about Mansoor when he's in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
At which point they sort of go, he's basically Hulk Hogan. When he goes back, they're like, he's basically the Italian Stallion. You know, there is a real big change when just by flying halfway across the world.
Mm.
Now, he is a good wrestler. He's absolutely, you know, it's a slight annoying thing where you go, when they do put him in that position, he performs at that level. And you go, wow, if you did that with everyone, if you imagine giving everyone a chance to show what they could do in front of crowds. What is annoying, of course, about Mansoor is because you see the way that works. What he is he's too heavily a political tool to appeal to the Saudi Arabian audience for these shows. I did notice there are 5 shows left on the WWE deal, and I was thinking he must be slightly shitting himself that they're not going to be renewed. You begin sort of thinking, well, you know, are they going to get, you know, what are they going to do with him? You know, is he just going to be this thing on the show? What they have done is since November 2019, he hasn't lost a single match. Even in the US.
Right.
So they do seem to be building him and building him and building him to be a big star, even if those big matches only happen at Saudi Arabia. He has had a 2-year winning streak of 44 matches, not necessarily against big TV names or anything, but he's had wins against Akira Tozawa, Cedric Alexander, and Drew Gulak recently. So he's got, people noticed this big win streak he was on. And they're like, wow, it's like the new Goldberg. 2 years undefeated. In May, they moved him to Raw, where in his first match, he lost to Sheamus by disqualification. Again, they'd sort of fallen into this thing that was a, you know, a gimmick.
Mm.
They'd done it. And then on the first night in, you go, he loses disqualification. The whole thing's gone.
If they had Taker nowadays, they'd be like, they'd fuck it up.
Completely. They lucked into that. Lucked into that. And again, they thought about ending that again and again and again. Let's have Edge end it. You know, let's have CM Punk end it. Continually getting it wrong. The reality is, I think in today's modern wrestling, it doesn't matter whether or not he loses or wins in America. No one cares.
Mm.
He's not at level. He wins all this, and he's probably got a longer win streak than anyone else, but they're not ever giving him a title shot for anything. They're not putting him against stars. So there is a sense that they're building him for Saudi Arabia, but they're doing that by putting him against people. No one cares either way.
Mm.
So interesting about Mansoor, he provided the voice of Cole Quinn, who is the main character in the 2K19 franchises, My Career Mode.
Oh, interesting.
He did that in 2K19 and 2K20. And in 2017, Shia LaBeouf, when Donald Trump was elected, he put on a performance art installation, and it was called He Will Not Divide Us. You could find it online at hewillnotdivideus.us. And what it was, they wanted people to face a camera and continually say the lines, He Will Not Divide Us. And it would just stream for the whole of Donald Trump's presidency.
Yeah.
Now, like most art exhibitions, you sort of go, yeah, that didn't happen. It did. On the day that Joe Biden was inaugurated, they finally stopped it.
Right.
And it had been running at New York's Museum of the Moving Image, where people just would look into the camera as they went past and go, He will not divide us. He will not divide us. Shia LaBeouf often seems a bit of a joke. Problematic man as well. Yeah. But I think it's actually not bad art. Like that. The fact it was done, brilliant.
Well, do you remember he set up that shop and you could just go in and he was just there?
Yeah. I mean, bold. And, you know, interesting ideas about art. And people tend to go, that's not art. My kid could do that. Your kid couldn't do it.
Mm.
But he's done it. And I sort of go, that's great. I mean, I don't want to watch 4 years of it in retrospect, sit down and go, yeah, it is really good art. I'm really enjoying this. But Mansour is one of the guys who turned up to do some bits and bobs.
Mm.
And during his time on the stream, he wore an eye patch and sang Snake Eater, the opening theme to the 2004 video game Metal Gear Solid 3, Snake Eater, and then reenacted the opening scene to the 2012 film The Dark Knight Rises.
Hang on. His job was to turn up and do the... Oh, is this separate to the...
Shia LaBeouf wanted Mansour to do that. I think Mansour was overstepping the line, to be brutally frank. Start singing fucking Metal Gear Solid 3 theme tunes.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be making a political point. not acting The Dark Knight Rises, because there's a camera there.
Hideo Kojima knows what he's doing, all right? What I like about Mansour, if you Google him, when Google gives you... People also ask these things about Mansour. Top four. First one, is Mansour still in WWE? Number two, how old is Mansour? And then it completely loses focus, because clearly they're the only two questions anyone's asked about Mansour. Who was the number one wrestler in WWE? And is WWE Asuka married?
What is the answer to number four?
I don't know, to be honest. I
need to know. Jeez.
Somebody must be holding the camera in our YouTubes. That's all I'm saying.
I never thought of that.
Yeah.
Better be that dog. Universal champion. I mean, Mansour wins.
Yes.
Obviously. He's not going to lose on this night.
No.
Bit of a change in WWE policy, because when they used to do the shows in the 90s, and they'd have the British Bulldog on the card. Very famously, I think one night only in 1997, they had a European title match for the inaugural European belt.
Mm.
And it was between the British Bulldog and Shawn Michaels. And Shawn Michaels backstage kicked such a stink up that the Bulldog lost in front of his home crowd for the European title.
What is the point?
And after that, they were like, I like that when the fans all want that guy to win. It's funny when he doesn't. And so they always did that. So it's been a long time since hometown heroes actually go over at shows.
Right.
But obviously here, they were like, well, the Saudi Arabian people, you know, they probably don't want to see their hometown boy being crushed continuously. So he goes over Cesaro. And as you say, Cesaro does a great job. You know, no one could have done a better job.
No.
But Mansour comes out of it looking really good.
He's 24, 25. He's good. He's all right for that. Someone's so young.
Give those people with potential time in the ring with people like Cesaro and give them a decent amount of time. Mm. I always find one of the real problems, and it's certainly you see it in this show, is they sort of have that thing of going, big stars like Randy Orton will always get 20 minutes, you know, and great people like Lucha House Party will always get 5.
Yeah.
You know, apart from the fact there's two of them and they could do twice as much, you know, it just seems mad. I'd like to see more young people get more time.
Mm.
Now I know WWE listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
I don't.
They listen to us, Two Men in the 40s now.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Jesus Christ. It's so, I do think this period is a funny period for me, because this is a period where I actually find some of it really hard to watch because the decisions they make and the blanding and the beiging out of it.
Mm.
And things are never, you know, when you can look at a card and you know how long each match is going to be, essentially by where it is in the card itself.
Mm.
You know, it's frustrating. It's too formulaic. The Mansour thing feels like a throwback because you have a hometown hero winning against someone who's really technical and good. But it's nice to see someone that you don't often see doing 20 minutes do 20 minutes.
Mm.
You know, I enjoyed that a lot more. Then you get a little Seth Rollins promo mentioning that coming up he will be defending his Universal title against Bray Wyatt.
And he's burned down a fun fair. I can't believe I did that.
I heard, don't do it then. I heard that fucking little bit where he comes out and he's like, this is coming. And my heart sank. It's just like someone coming up and sort of going, you know, by the way, that you're sitting at home and your dog's 13. I mean, most dogs die at 40. You know, it's just, I felt like that. I was like, oh, this is really sort of taking the wind out of my fucking sails. Hearing I'm going to be watching The Fiend. Just, oh, bad.
Guess what lights we're going to use? Switch ones.
It's the shit. Match number four is Braun Strowman versus Tyson Fury. Mentioned in the first show, you know, this is very much a reaction to how big the 2017 match between Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor has been, taking people from legitimate sport against people from other disciplines. That gets mainstream appeal. Not sure this really did get mainstream appeal, but certainly it was published, you know, and The Sun did a lot of, like, you know, bits about it. They were excited.
Yeah.
And what you saw as well is a changing of people who watched WWE. In the old days, something in The Sun about, say, Lennox Lewis leading out the British Bulldog at SummerSlam 92, you'd have that going, Lennox flies the flag for the Bulldog. And it would just be full of people going, this is all fake, you know. Don't you realise it's fake?
Yeah. And what, but inexplicably, it makes $1 million.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. Sure. And what you'd have with the Tyson Fury thing is on The Sun thing, they'd just go, you know, he could be a star. He's great on the mic. It's all that sort of thing. And the change in that, where people understand what wrestling is so sort of refreshing and nice. And of course, it's the thing that appeals to people like Tyson Fury now, which is there isn't that sense that he has to go in there and go, these wrestlers are the toughest people I've ever met. You know, he can just go, you know why I'm here. I'm here for the money. I'm here because this looks like a bit of a laugh. It's not like getting punched in the face by a real man. And this is all good fun. This was the marquee match that they put on. They didn't have an Undertaker waiting in the wings. They hadn't set anything up with Goldberg, you know, and he'd obviously had the match at the last show that they'd done that had gone so badly wrong the year before. They wanted marquee matches. And actually, Tyson Fury is a really, really good choice. He's widely regarded as being an extraordinary boxing talent. He isn't someone who is just like a mouthy boxer and therefore, you know, attracts attention. He is a brilliant, undefeated boxer, in fact.
Yeah.
He's only ever had one draw. He's had 30 wins. He is also fascinating off camera because he is a very impulsive man. He is depressive. He has talked about his mental health battles. But he is just incredibly good at boxing.
Yeah.
They do call him throughout this. They call him the lineal boxing champion. He didn't have any titles at this point. So in 2015, he defeated Vladimir Klitschko for as many of the belts as there are that sort of make up the boxing title lineage. It's like Bill Watts has been in charge of it. It's split over the years. There's always been competing world championships. There's been attempts to put them together, but there's too much money involved for people to go, yes, let's just have one. When there's three, you've got three lots of people controlling them, making money out of them, you know, and the ability for people to fight. If it goes down to one, there's going to be a lot of people consolidating power, a lot of people put out of it.
Right.
So there's no like proper feeling within boxing other than from the fans to have an actual single champion. So what you have here is you have him beating Vladimir Klitschko for, if you like, the biggest number of recognized belts. But in 2016, a year later, he vacated them. He was suffering from mental health issues. It led to alcoholism. He'd been taking drugs recreationally. And he'd had a huge weight increase. And so he was stripped of all of those belts. In 2020, he would challenge for the WBC title against Deontay Wilder. 2019, so before this match, he challenged Deontay Wilder for the WBC title. It was a shocking comeback in that it ended in a draw. And people were sure he wasn't going to win. Since then, he won two more matches and he was just continually on the up. And he was lined up for a rematch against Deontay Wilder, which people thought was going to be a very hard match for him to win, considering he'd had a draw in his comeback. And that is the point where, before that happens, he decides to step in and take part in a WWE event. People thought he was idiotic within boxing to suddenly just go, well, I'm preparing for this, you know, fight with Deontay Wilder in 5 months' time, but I'm going to go and have a little bit of fun in WWE.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Forbes put it, trooping on over on the WWE bus to Mohammed bin Salman's Saudi Arabia, Jamal Khashoggi's murder and the Yemen war be damned, for an exquisitely mega-hype WWE match is apparently what it takes for an reported $15 million interim payday. The money was amazing. Mm. He had built this up by appearing on SmackDown in the crowd. There had been a bit where Braun Strowman had thrown Dolph Ziggler into him and he'd sort of jumped the rails, had to be held back, while Braun Strowman sort of laughed. He'd gone, ah-ha-ha.
Ha-ha-ha, you think I'm a professional joke. I just came here to watch this, actually.
Yeah. And Tyson Fury demands an apology and Strowman just goes, ah-ha-ha. This is the weirdest period of Braun Strowman, where they try and make him into a cocky, cool face that you're supposed to go, yeah, I like wrestling, so the wrestler is my hero. And look how cool he is about the boxer. He's like, oh, I'm laughing in your face. But he looks demented, Braun Strowman, when he's doing this. Yeah. He's really frightening. He's really, I don't like it at all. And when he's coming out smiling and looking confident and everything, you just sort of go, he looks like he's lost his mind. Why you'd make Braun Strowman, you'd go, let's make him a face. Let's make him a baby face. You look at him and you just go, just keep him as a monster.
Yeah.
Have a monster fight Tyson Fury. It's fine. He's called the monster among men. You don't need to have him being the fun, happy monster among men. It's just nonsense. Tyson Fury, nicknamed the Gypsy King.
Mm.
That is a fucking wrestling gimmick. I mean, that really is. Nobody's done that, but paying tribute to that sort of traveling community, bare knuckle boxing tradition, that sort of, you know, fighting in britches, you know, that I think, you know, Tyson Fury taps into. It's thrilling.
Yeah.
It's got that sort of Peaky Blinders element I think you would present it with nowadays, you know, that would really work. Instead, what happens is, because he is the most pro wrestler of everyone on the card, he comes out wearing traditional Saudi Arabian gear.
It's like a thob, isn't it? It's a thob,
Yeah. It is worth saying, Braun Strowman, they are trying to pitch as the good guy. And yet they have Tyson Fury come out and he's like, well, I mean, you know, he's the hometown hero. he is like, this,
from
these
Riyadh,
are my people.
Tyson Fury.
Like, it's like Freddie Flintoff briefly living in Dubai.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure
he will attend
Tyson Fury
in that. Yeah.
He's hung around the Middle East probably more than anyone else from WWE.
Of course, yeah.
Out he comes wearing his thawb. I looked up the words. Thawb. I think he might have a bisht on. He's certainly got the headdress, which is a kufiya, a gutra, and an igal.
Yeah,
which is the cord thing.
I mean, I'd love to wear a thawb because it gets fat as I want. No belt, completely white, very slimming. Oh, beautiful.
It would be lovely to stand up and leave a building and go outside and just the air.
Yeah, just getting you up the britches.
About time men allowed to wear lovely skirts. Lovely stuff.
Fury's music sounds like the theme tune to The Close Show.
It really does. It's like a 1980s sort of, yeah, exactly, magazine show.
Yeah.
Quite sort of jazzy. That sense of when British people used to hear like Saturday Night Live theme. Mm. And they're like, that is good library jazz. That is what we'll go for. He does take off his robes to wrestle in. Might be culturally inappropriate, not sure. And he does look a bit gangly. yeah, compared to the wrestlers.
Yeah, because I mean, I guess he's, that's the thing though. He's never had the physique of you would expect from a boxer.
No.
He's that kind of like, when you get to that weight level, it don't fucking matter.
No.
You're either a good boxer or you're not.
No. And again, you know, it's a weird thing where WWE is bringing in these people like, you know, Cain Velasquez, like Tyson Fury,
yeah,
where they're saying everything that we've taught you over the years is absolute bullshit.
Bullshit, yeah.
The hard like, guys don't look like this.
Like the best baseball guys always have a bit of a gut on them. It's very enjoyable. Yes. And like one arm's like absolutely pumped up. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Like old British wrestlers. I mean, you know, the ones who weren't body guys, you know, your Les Kellets and things, people who look like your granddad, they were the ones the that you had guy. To be really frightened
yeah.
of. Because, you know, they were could not give a shit, guys. Yeah. I mean, you know, he does. This is seen as being a really bad match,
right?
By and large, people are like,
is it because they're both giants and they're just slow? And that's kind of
giants cancel each other out.
Mm.
That's why you do Big Show versus Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah,
you know, because that is a size disparity that gives a little bit towards the wrestler against the legit athlete, and the legit athlete has to overcome the odds. That is a story.
Mm.
In this, there's two big guys, and Strowman is a bit bigger than Fury. But they both have the effect of negating the other's main attribute. what you get is, you know, Tyson Fury, he's obviously worked really hard at this. He's trained at it. And he does, for what is a debut match in a sport that isn't your own, he does a really, really good job.
No
you know, he does a sort of a kip up holding onto Strowman's arm like Shawn Michaels, you know. He's selling isn't very good. But he's game, and he's incredibly unselfish.
Mm.
So a lot of like professional sportsmen will be like, well, I'm not going to have a fake wrestler look like he's harder than me.
Yeah.
You know, that's damaging to me, and I'm legitimate.
Mm.
And instead what he does is he allows Strowman to, you know, he'll give him a load of punches, and Tyson Fury will be on the floor rolling around, you know, screaming. He sells really well in parts of this. He comes off the ropes appallingly. But, you know, again, you know, I think if you'd just seen that, you'd have gone, don't go off the ropes.
Don't go off the ropes.
Yeah.
You can't do it.
It's not as easy as it looks. And it doesn't look good. There's a bit where sort of like Tyson Fury does an Undertaker sit-up.
Mm.
You slightly get the impression...
That's what he's been watching.
Yeah. And someone suggested it to him, but what he doesn't quite know is how to build the drama. It's worth saying the crowd are dead during this.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't really know how to
They enjoyed the top.
They did.
They enjoyed the Pebble Mill
This is a crowd that enjoy the entrances more than anything else.
Yes.
When you're at least you can say you've seen him.
Yeah.
And he's sort of like, tick. Mm. And he comes out, and then you have to watch it, and you're a bit like, oh, get back on my phone. he struggles to actually connect with the crowd. You know, the timing is massively off, but that's because it's his debut.
Bring Snooki out.
exactly. I felt this match, to me, felt like it had been booked, like, covertly for a birthday party for a Saudi prince who had unlimited money.
One of those parties that, like, Robbie Williams plays.
Yeah.
An oligarch.
And it's a bit like going, I've bought 100 swans and one tiger.
Yes.
And we're going to fight. They're going to fight. Or, you know, 9 dogs and, you know, 3 pumas. You know, just sort of weird combinations of stuff. This ends with Strowman, Strowman does this stupid thing where he runs around the ring, and they do quite like that.
Yeah. Because it's slapstick and silly.
It's slapstick. Yeah. And, you know, Tyson Fury takes it each time. You know, he does really, you know, I was really amazed watching this back how unselfish he is.
Yeah.
And anyway, what happens at the end, Strowman is coming into the ring, and Tyson Fury punches him, and Braun Strowman is counted out. And that is, you know, it smacks massively of a compromise that they couldn't quite, you know, that both people want to be on top.
Yeah.
Which is, compared to, for example, the Floyd Mayweather Big Show match, which is as good an example of celebrity booking as you'll ever see, you know, where they had a definitive end. It really worked. This is, again, it just talks of agents having long back and forth email chains with WWE.
Well, this will happen like this. Well, I haven't got everything that I want, but that's kind of an agent's thing, isn't it? I'll get some of the stuff.
And, you know, so Tyson can say he won the match, but the WWE star will go, well, I didn't actually get pinned or lose in my own game. It's just a bit sort of, you know, it's awful. And Strowman then at the end gives him a power slam in the ring to sort of go,
Wrestling
is the best one. You know, even though you're the legitimate lineal boxing champion, wrestling is the best one. And what happened at the time, very heavily criticised, is that Strowman left the ring and Fury got straight back up after the power slam and didn't really sell it.
Yeah.
But I think he was going, well, he's gone now,
he's gone now, so I get up, don't I?
And he's standing there sort of shouting and jawing in the ring. What is funny about this is, you know, he is such a big star in the legitimate, you know, sports world, that WWE have always kept him around. He's been backstage at shows. Mm. There's always been he's going to do something with Drew McIntyre. And Drew McIntyre pushes and pushes and pushes this in any British interview he does, that they want to do a huge British pay-per-view show, which will be headlined by McIntyre versus Tyson Fury.
Right.
I've always been really anti it because I'm sort of like, I don't care. I don't need to see another. I just want to see a wrestling match. Get me two of the best wrestlers.
Yes.
And let them have a match.
Mm.
But actually, there's a part of me after watching this, I was like, I do like Tyson Fury. I like his gameness. I like how generous he was.
Mm.
And I just don't see what the end result is.
Do it on the London Eye.
That would be good. Look, you know, I was watching Strowman, and obviously Strowman is one of the people who surprisingly was let go in the last round of rally cards. And I did look at that and I did sort of think, yeah, I don't know what he is. He's never going to be the big baby face.
Mm.
You know, he's probably had too many face runs, a bit like the Big Show, to actually seem like a big villain anymore.
Mm.
And it did seem when he was doing this bit with Tyson Fury, it sort of seemed like, oh, it could have been anyone else and it would have been more fun.
Yeah.
And his sort of, you know, half baby face, half madman thing, you begin going, yeah, maybe he's not as diverse at covering all the angles as, you know, you'd hope he would be. But yeah, he oddly, watching it the second time round, having, you know, absolutely thought it was shit the first time round, I actually, you know, came out going, I think Tyson Fury is the good parts of this match.
Yeah.
And I think Braun Strowman, oddly, is the bits that aren't as good.
Interesting.
Yes. I'm just worth saying, Pete, this ends with a great ad for WWE 2K20.
Listen, I mean, good bits and bad bits. The advert was very good.
The advert?
The game.
You see Hogan versus Austin. You see Hart versus Michaels.
Yep.
There is Ultimate Warrior's Ice Fountain. It is exactly what I want from WWE.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what you get when an external company is allowed, God,
what's good about WWE? This
is allowed to present it to you.
Yeah,
I cannot wait until this company is sold
to someone who knows
any
what the fuck
other
doing.
Buyer. Yeah. It's going to be so much fucking better.
Well, another show down.
You can't disagree with
you
that.
You can't disagree with that.
You
could
can't
be 200.
With that.
200, 400.
201.
201. Could
201.
Be 201.
201.
Could be. No, we could get away with just doing it next pay per view. Because they wouldn't, nobody would know. Nobody would question it.
True.
Because wrestling fans aren't known
for
picking you up on things and facts. And,
no, that is true.
Yeah, no.
Everyone does it very nicely when I get things wrong.
Doing a football podcast and then one about Japan as well, like people pick you up very easily. Wrestling fans are actually, because it's, you know, 80% lads, I mean, fuck, they are nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Grown
think,
up
know,
people.
You like
understand.
You gotta not care too much of you. I mean, you sit through a lot of crap. It is worth saying, I cannot remember whether... Yes, I can. I think Fury went on to win that match against Deontay Wilder. So I think he got that belt back.
Okay.
So I think he's even bigger a star
he's up
than he was when he did this.
Mm.
God bless him. I like him. Yeah. Is his son Tommy Fury?
Yes, I believe so.
What
yes.
does his son do? Is he a boxer as well?
I think he's a boxer, but
he was
also on
Love
Island.
Island.
Yeah. But because Danny Fury, he, or is it his cousin or something? Either way, he says some problematic things, but he's a man who's grown up in a certain with a certain level of education, you would imagine.
Yeah.
He's a boxer for fuck's sake.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you don't... I was going to tell
He's not polished.
I come into your office today and I walked past a bloke who was raining and he had an umbrella that said Oxford University Boat Club.
Right.
And I thought, what a fucking flex. That you want people to know that you went to Oxford University.
And
but
you're in the book.
You don't want them to think for a minute you got there through a scholarship or something. you want to make it clear. You want to make it clear that you are from that social caste. And I looked at that and I thought, well, bad luck, mate. You've ended up in Highbury, haven't you?
Yeah.
You know, you haven't done that well.
Yeah. Iron up the line bike. Ooh, get one of them to get home. Rubbish.
What a dickhead. I severely hope that Tommy Fury hits that man in the face. Look, we're going to be back next week because that's what we do.
Yeah.
We come back next week.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking more about Crown Jewel 2019. What's coming up? Oh, we're going to be meeting Humberto Carrillo.
Pinfalls. Singles matches.
Wow.
The United States Championship.
I like this menu, this rundown
Everything.
Menu.
Everything.
And also, that fucking Fiend thing.
Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Pete.
Right.
Wrestle Me is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.